Good morning.
Welcome to worship this morning, and please take notice of all the announcements that are at the end of the bulletin. One thing I do need to highlight is on October 30th, last Sunday of this month, we will be celebrating our 150th anniversary. The day begins with worship, and then after worship, we have our picture taken as a whole congregation, a big group photo. And then after that is a meal. If you would like to come to the meal, have food, we ask that you please sign up ahead of time. And there are sign-up sheets in the narthex, the annex, or you can call the church office during the week. We'll have enough food for everyone. And then also, too, then after the meal, we will also have a program that goes along with the celebration. So come join in with all the fun on that day. And I think we got a couple of other announcements. Kathy?
Good morning. I wanted to let everybody know that in order to accommodate the people who could not make the vaccination clinic last week, we are going to have another flu shot only clinic, and it'll be on Tuesday, October 18th from 3 to 6 p.m. It'll be over down by the elevators. It'll be a drive-through. Because of that, I am going to need about three people who can help with paperwork as people are driving through. Beginning next week, I'll start to have some of the paperwork down at the end of the church and over here so that we can fill out ahead of time if you would like. But if anybody is interested, please let me know. And just so you know, they're accepting Medicare, Medicaid, and private insurance. For those who are uninsured, it's going to be $35 for the flu zone and then $75 for the high-dose flu zone, which is what a lot of times they recommend for those over 65. But again, if you have, if you're willing to help with that, please get in touch with me. Thank you.
All right. Thanks, Kathy. Zoe?
Good morning. Next Sunday on October 9th, there will be a brief junior high student meeting during Sunday school and confirmation around 11:15, discussing service projects and other things coming up. And then 2 weeks from today on October 16th, there will be another high school student meeting in the chapel at 10:15, talking and discussing about other things that we did not get to finish at our last meeting. So please come. Thank you.
Thank you, Zoe. Are there other announcements? Anything else? If not, then I invite you to rise for the brief order for confession and forgiveness. We begin this service in the remembrance of our baptism. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Almighty God, to whom all hearts are open, all desires known, and from whom no secrets are hid, cleanse the thoughts of our hearts by the inspiration of your Holy Spirit, that we may perfectly love you and worthily magnify your holy name through Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen. If we say we have no sin, we deceive ourselves and the truth is not in us. But if we confess our sins, God, who is faithful and just, will forgive our sins and cleanse us from all unrighteousness. Most merciful God, we confess that we are in bondage to sin and cannot free ourselves. We have sinned against you. Almighty God, in his mercy, has given his Son to die for us, and for his sake forgives us all our sins. As a called and ordained minister of the Church of Christ, and by his authority, I therefore declare unto you the entire forgiveness of all your sins. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Our opening hymn, Immortal, Invisible, God Only Wise. The grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, the love of God, and the communion of the Holy Spirit be with you all.
And also with you.
In peace, let us pray to the Lord.
Lord, have mercy.
For the peace from above, and for our salvation, let us pray to the Lord.
Lord, have mercy.
For the peace of the whole world, for the well-being of the Church of God, and for the unity of all, let us pray to the Lord.
Lord,
for this holy house, and for all who offer here their worship and praise, let us pray to the Lord.
Lord, have mercy.
Help, save, comfort, and defend us, gracious Lord.
Alleluia. O Lord Jesus, you have endured the doubts and foolish questions of every generation. Forgive us for trying to be judge over you, and grant us the confident faith to acknowledge you as Lord. Amen. You may be seated.
The first lesson is a reading from Habakkuk, from chapter 1. I begin at verse 1. The oracle that the prophet Habakkuk saw. O Lord, how long shall I cry for help, and you will not listen, or cry to you violence, and you will not save? Why do you make me see wrongdoing and look at trouble? Destruction and violence are before me. Strife and contention arise. So the law becomes slack, and justice never prevails. The wicked surround the righteous. Therefore judgment comes forth perverted. I will stand at my watchpost and station myself on the rampart. I will keep watch to see what he will say to me and what he will answer concerning my complaint. Then the Lord answered me and said, write the vision. Make it plain on tablets so that a runner may read it. For there is still a vision for the appointed time. It speaks of the end and does not lie. If it seems to tarry, wait for it. It will surely come. It will not delay. Look at the proud. Their spirit is not right in them, but the righteous live by their faith, the word of the Lord. We'll now read Psalm 37 responsively. Do not fret yourself because of evildoers. Do not be jealous of those who do wrong. Put your trust in the Lord and do good. Dwell in the land and feed on its riches.
Take delight in the Lord, and he shall give you your heart's desire.
Commit your way to the Lord and put your trust in him, and he will bring it to pass.
He will make your righteousness as clear as light, and your just dealing as the day.
Be still before the Lord and wait patiently for him. Refrain from anger. Leave rage alone. Do not fret yourself. It leads only to evil.
For evildoers shall be cut off, but those who wait on the Lord shall possess the land.
The second lesson is a reading from 2 Timothy chapter 1. I begin at verse 1. Paul, an apostle of Christ Jesus by the will of God, for the sake of the promise of life that is in Christ Jesus. To Timothy, my beloved child, grace, mercy, and peace from God the Father and Jesus Christ our Lord. I am grateful to God, whom I worship with a clear conscience, as my ancestors did, when I remember you constantly in my prayers night and day. Recalling your tears, I long to see you so that I may be filled with joy. I am reminded of your sincere faith, a faith that lived first in your grandmother Lois and your mother Eunice, and now I am sure lives in you. For this reason, I remind you to rekindle the gift of God that is within you through the laying on of my hands. For God did not give us a spirit of cowardice, but rather a spirit of power and of love and of self-discipline. Do not be ashamed then of the testimony about our Lord, or of me his prisoner, but join with me in suffering for the gospel, relying on the power of God, who saved us and called us with a holy calling, not according to our works, but according to his own purpose and grace. This grace was given to us in Christ Jesus before the ages began, but it has now been revealed through the appearing of our Savior, Christ Jesus, who abolished death and brought life and immortality to the light through the gospel. For this gospel, I was appointed a herald and an apostle and a teacher. And for this reason, I suffer as I do. But I am not ashamed, for I know the one in whom I have put my trust. And I am sure that he is able to guard until that day that I have entrusted to him. Hold to the standard of sound teaching that you have heard from me in the faith and love that are in Christ Jesus. Guard the good treasure entrusted to you with the help of the Holy Spirit living in us. The word of the Lord.
Gospel according to St. Luke, the 17th chapter. The apostle said to the Lord, "Increase our faith." The Lord replied, "If you had the faith the size of a mustard seed, you could say to this mulberry tree, 'Be uprooted and planted in the sea,' and it would obey you. Who among you would say to your slave who has just come in from plowing or tending sheep in the field, 'Come here at once and take your place at the table'? Would you not rather say to him, 'Prepare supper for me, put on your apron and serve me while I eat and drink. Later you may eat and drink.' Do you thank the slave for doing what was commanded? So you also, when you have done all that you were ordered to do, say, 'We are worthless slaves. We have done only what we ought to have done.'" The Gospel of the Lord. You may be seated. Grace and peace to you from God our Father and our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Amen. It's been said that there are two types of people in the world. There's vision people, and then there's small print people. The vision people are the ones who have the inspiration. They're the ones who see a large picture, big picture, or they have the idea. And it's their job then to convey that idea, to motivate everyone else. The small print people, once they are motivated, once that visionary person has done their work, then the small print people say, "Okay, how can we get this done? How can we do this?" For instance, a visionary person may say, I see a vision where here we can feed everyone in Yorktown. No one needs to go hungry. No one needs to lack for food." And so then the small print people see that vision as well then too, and they get to work. Maybe having some food drives, making sure yam is well stocked, or maybe even putting together a way to help deliver food out into the community. Having people spot, or a way to make sure that no one is left without food in the town. Have visionary people, you have small print people who actually get the work done. In the Old Testament, it was usually the prophets who were the visionary people. God would give the prophets a vision of what was to take place or what's happening. And it was that job of that prophet to pass on that message, to pass on that vision so that people could understand what was going on and what they need to do. And then the Hebrew people then would get about the business of getting it done. Moses was one of those prophets. He had a vision. He had that vision, or God gave that vision to him of taking the people back to the promised land. And then of setting the identity of these Hebrew people, making sure that their identity is set in God. And when they were out in the wilderness then,
Moses went up to the mountain. God gave Moses the Ten Commandments, a new vision, a vision of how the people should live, of setting them apart from all other peoples. And so Moses brings the Ten Commandments down, and he explains it to them, and the people say, yes, we will follow these. Eventually, they get to work in doing those things. And when they followed that vision, when they got to work and followed that vision, life was good. They were able to go into that promised land. They were able to possess it. A lot of times, though, they fell away when they no longer saw that vision. They fell away. And so a new prophet would have to arise and remind them of that vision. Our first lesson for today from Habakkuk is one of those prophets who brings that vision back. He says, write the vision, make it plain on tablets so that a runner may see it, for there is still a vision for the appointed time. So Habakkuk is the one with the vision. He sees that vision. He wants to make it clear. He finds a way to get it spread out among the people with a runner. What is that vision that he saw? If you go back a little earlier than that, it says, why do you make me see wrongdoing and look at trouble? Destruction and violence are before me. Strife and contention arise. So the law becomes slack and justice never prevails. The wicked surround the righteous, therefore judgment comes forth perverted. The people had gotten away from their identity of who they were supposed to be. They were supposed to be people of the law, people of God. They were supposed to have their set identity in God by that law. And they had fallen away from it. And so they had perversion, they had wickedness, they had fallen away from God, and life was not good. And so Habakkuk is that visionary person who brings that vision to the people so that the people will repent and do the work of following God. In the gospel lesson for today, there's also vision. The disciples catch the division from Jesus. And in a sense, then, they become visionary people too as well then too. They cry out, increase our faith. Jesus was that visionary person who portrayed the faith that he had, that closeness to God, and the disciples wanted some of that. They wanted to be a part of that. And so they're crying out to Jesus, increase our faith so that we can do the things that you can do, so that we can teach like you do, so that we can heal, so that we can minister to people. Increase our faith. They had that vision as well. They caught that vision within them. And they weren't sure how to do that, of how to increase their faith. And so they're asking God, increase our faith. But they had caught that vision from Jesus. And Jesus tries to explain this. He explains it then to the disciples. If you had just the tiniest bit of faith, like a mustard seed, you could move huge other trees out of the way. You could tell them, move out of the way. And it would obey you. He also gives another parable here then. Or he asks the question, who among you would say to your slave who has just come in from plowing or tending sheep in the field, come here at once and take your place at the table? What Jesus is saying in this parable is that you do, or think of it this way, the slave would not be plowing the field if he were not a slave. He's not doing it because he loves the work. He's not doing it for the pay. He's doing it because he is a slave. That is who he is. That's why he is doing it. Or he's not tending the sheep simply because he just loves the little furry animals. He's doing it because he is a slave. He serves his master because he is a slave. That's his job. That's what he is. That makes his identity of who he is. We call ourselves Christian. So what's that mean? What does that make us as Christians? So we look at that big vision once again. God looked down upon the world and he saw a mess. But he had a plan. He had a plan to fix the mess. The plan was to send his son into the world to show the world exactly who God is. And in seeing Jesus, the world has seen who God actually is. Because Jesus came to serve. Jesus is that servant. Jesus is that slave in that sense. That's who he is. He came to serve out of love. It shows that God is love, that God was willing to give his only son into this world and serve us in that way. And so Jesus came into the world and he ministered to people. He ministered to the outcast. He healed the sick. He raised the dead. He taught people in large groups and also one-on-one. He preached to many people. He went head-to-head or toe-to-toe with those who had lost the vision of who God is. Jesus was the vision. Jesus was the vision. But he also gathered with him the fine print people. The fine print people who were also then to relay this message to everyone else throughout the world. And so we call ourselves Christians. We call ourselves followers of Christ. And that is why we do what we do. That's our identity as Christians. We are willing to forgive other people simply because we are Christian. We give of our time, our possessions, and our talents simply because we're Christians. We come to worship and give praise to God simply because we are Christians. Now, there's blessings in this, but the blessings don't come in return of what we do. if you give someone something and you expect something in return, then that is no longer a gift. That's an exchange. We give simply because that is the blessing. That is who we are. We're living out our lives. Our lives are fulfilled. That is the blessing. We forgive one another. And if we forgive somebody, hoping that they will accept that forgiveness, well, then we're looking for something in return. We simply unload ourselves and ask for forgiveness. We ask for forgiveness from God. We ask for forgiveness from somebody else. And in that, when we let it go, that is the blessing, because that's who we are as Christians. We are Christians. That is our identity. That is who we are. We are followers of Christ, and we do the same thing that Christ has done. That's what we strive to do. We are still sinners. And a lot of times we fall away, like the Hebrew people fell away from their identity. We too fall away. But Christ is there to bring us forgiveness. We can see that vision of God. God had that vision of creating people, of people living in harmony, of people sharing, of giving to one another, helping one another in their lives, living together, giving praise and worship to God, to love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, with all your might, and to love your neighbor as yourself. And with that comes that blessing, that we are doing what we were intended to be, of who we were intended to be, as followers of Jesus Christ, as children of the Heavenly Father. God does bless us. He gives blessings upon blessings to us. And we can participate in who we are. Amen. May the peace of God, which passes all human understanding, keep our hearts and minds through faith in Christ Jesus. Amen. We sing the hymn for the day, O Word of God Incarnate.
Oh,
Please rise for the confession of faith. I believe in God, the Father Almighty, creator of heaven and earth. I believe in Jesus Christ, his only Son, our Lord. He was conceived by the power of the Holy Spirit and born of the Virgin Mary. He suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, died, and was buried. He descended into hell. On the third day, he rose again. He ascended into heaven and is seated at the right hand of the Father. He will come again to judge the living and the dead. I believe in the Holy Spirit, the Holy Catholic Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and the life everlasting. Amen. Let us pray in the name of Jesus to our Heavenly Father, for the Church, the world, and one another. Dear Heavenly Father, thank you for planting the mustard seed of faith in us. Please water it with your Holy Spirit and make its roots delve deep into your holy word and sacraments. Cause that seed to blossom and come to fruition, nourishing a hungry world with your Son's forgiveness and love. Lord, in your mercy. We ask your protection, guidance, and blessing upon your church. Make it steadfast in faith, courageous in witness, truthful in teaching and preaching, and gracious in service to all for whom your Son gave his life. Lord, in your mercy. Fill this congregation with your Holy Spirit, so that in our words and actions we never seem ashamed of Christ, but instead show and share his holy and forgiving love to everyone we encounter. Lord, in your mercy. Bestow upon all missionaries strength to do their master's work faithfully and well until he comes in glory. Shield and strengthen our sisters and brothers who are persecuted on account of Jesus. Give them grace and courage to speak and live your word boldly and truly. Lord, in your mercy. Be the rock and salvation, the hope and the eternal possession of all who cry out to you in time of adversity, suffering, or sorrow. Give them patience. Still their troubled souls. Heal them of whatever afflicts them in body, mind, or spirit. And give to all who care for them tender hearts, gentle hands, and compassionate service. We most especially remember before you Jay Heil, Lynn Magura, and the family of Michael Patillo. Lord, in your mercy. Dear Heavenly Father, keep our beloved dead in your loving embrace. Be the rock and salvation of all whose grief runs deep. Give all of us steadfast courage and boundless hope. Lead us safely through the evils and sorrows of this earthly life. Bring us into your kingdom and into eternal fellowship with you and with all whom you have redeemed through the merits of your Son. Lord, in your mercy. In the power of the Holy Spirit, we entrust our prayers and petitions into your hands, gracious Father, for the sake of your beloved Son, Jesus Christ, our Lord. Amen. We continue with the offering. You may be seated.
Thank you.
Let us pray. Wise and gracious God, receive the labor of our hands, these gifts of money, bread, and wine, along with the offering of our lives. Nourish us with the life of your Son, that we might be his body in the world, making known your abundant mercy in Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen.
The Lord be with you.
And also with you.
Lift up your hearts.
We lift them to the Lord.
Let us give thanks to the Lord our God.
It is indeed right, our duty and our joy, that we should at all times and places give thanks and praise to you, Almighty and merciful God, through our Savior Jesus Christ, who on this day overcame death and the grave, and by his glorious resurrection opened to us the way of everlasting life. And so, with all the choirs of angels, with the church on earth and the host of heaven, we praise your name and join their unending hymn. In the night in which he was betrayed, our Lord Jesus took bread, gave thanks, broke it, and gave it to his disciples, saying, "Take and eat. This is my body given for you. Do this for the remembrance of me." Again after supper, he took the cup, gave thanks, and gave for all to drink, saying, "This cup is the new covenant in my blood, shed for you and for all people for the forgiveness of sins. Do this for the remembrance of me." Lord, remember us in your kingdom and teach us to pray. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory, forever and ever. Come, taste and see that the Lord is good. Body and blood of our Lord Jesus Christ strengthen you and keep you in his grace. Amen.
Thank you.
Let us pray. Almighty God, we thank you for feeding us with spiritual food, the body and blood of Christ. All who come to you will not hunger. All who believe in you will not thirst. Empowered by this sacrament, send us back into the world to do the work you have given us to do, to share the gospel and be faithful disciples of Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen. The Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord make his face to shine upon you and be gracious to you. The Lord look upon you with favor and give you his peace. Our closing hymn, Dear Lord and Father of Mankind. Go in peace, serve the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
And as we go in peace, we share that peace with each other. The peace of the Lord be with you.
And